I'm JC.
And I'm Will. And you're listening to...
Dude.
Dude.
I know. You know what? So I record this in my garage, right? Which is a bar. And the problem was yesterday, we had a little bit of a party kind of came back here. We did this thing called Restaurant Rally, where you go to all these various restaurants all around Conshohocken. And
that's cool.
We just continued the party. And again, the fun thing with fun employment is you can kind of continue the party, you know, if your child goes to sleep. So this is the first time I'd been out here since the party ended.
Is it a mess?
Well, it's like you're solving a mystery, but it's the big twist in the end is it was you who caused all the problems anyway. You know what I mean? It's a typical M. Night Shyamalan film where you're like, wait a minute, these look like my pants.
I was about to say, like, did you find someone's panties or, you know, did you find a...
No, it was, again, it's my pants and shirt and belt and my cowboy boots and, you know, and half drinking. I mean, you know, the pounding headache I had for the morning, I definitely paid for my crimes.
From drinking too much soda?
Yeah. But it's so funny coming back to the scene of the crime, which happens to be in your backyard, and trying to like deduct. I'm sitting there like, pair of pants. Ooh, the caper was a 32-30.
But you didn't realize it was your pair of pants?
No, I knew. I knew it was my pants. It's just, you know, sometimes you like to forget these details. Mm. I think I definitely ended up singing karaoke in my underwear to an audience of maybe two or three people, whoever was sick enough to still hang out that late.
Interesting. So the pants went off at some point.
Oh, yeah. And others were still here. But there's times when it's just me and I'm continuing the party. There'll be times when, like, I'm the party and I come back to figure out, what did I do at the scene of the crime?
I was hoping you'd say the mystery was something cool, like, you know, you got drunk and you domesticated a squirrel and, like, built a little home for it in your garage or something.
It would be awesome if the circumstances of one drinking a lot were, like, really positive things. That you're like, oh, no, I I drank so much and I cleaned everyone in my neighborhood's house. Oh, no. I gift wrapped them all fruit baskets.
You find a whiteboard in there, you've solved like things Einstein couldn't solve.
I figured out how to clean up the ocean.
Speaking of having a good time and being drunk, do you remember maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, you called me and, you know, you again had too much soda. And you called me with your shirt off. This time it was your shirt.
Sure. Normally it is. Normally that's the progression. You know, it starts with shirt. And then it's like, I'm being suffocated by these clothes. You know what I mean? Like, Adam and Eve didn't wear clothes, nor should I at this state, you know? So.
Amen, brother. And you know what else you decided? In addition to taking your shirt off, you decided you were going to drink a whole gallon of milk. Forget the cup. You had a gallon of milk. Do you remember this at all?
This doesn't say, it was just me drinking a gallon of milk by myself?
In your in-law's house, yeah.
And I just kept trying to drink the milk?
Oh, no, sir, you drank the milk. You didn't try, you succeeded.
Well, I do love milk. I mean, first of all, milk's never gotten old for me. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like people just age out of certain things. Let me go to a restaurant. You know what? I'm not embarrassed to ask for a... Give me a big... That's what I need to do. I need to go to like a steakhouse and be like, sir, give me a big glass of... Can I have a big honking glass of milk? How awesome would that be? How bad a move would that be at a business dinner? You sit down and you're like, sir, what can I get you? And I'm just like, what do you got? 2% whole milk? Give me a big, big tall glass of milk. Like, instantly, you were the alpha at that table. Like, I feel like, whoa.
You know, you and I may have differences of opinions on that one. If someone ordered a glass of milk, I would think, what's wrong with him?
I think it's a power move. I think it's like, if you're secure enough as an adult to be drinking a tall glass of milk at a in a business setting, like, and it's not cookies that you're having, you're in fact having, I just think like, oh my gosh, this man doesn't just want to eat the cow, he wants to drink it concurrently. That is power, my friend. But anyway, I can imagine I went out, had a good time, and I was just trying to prove to the world, listen, I still got it. I can drink this milk.
You know what? I have a photo of it. If I find it and you will let me, I will share it. But you were also shirtless and in corduroy pants, which is a bold move. That means you were out drinking in corduroy pants.
I hope I was only wearing the corduroy pants. That'd be even a bolder move if I was only wearing the corduroy pants and I never had a shirt.
Corduroy pants and just a vest.
That's definitely or unhoused. I think that's the term you use now, not homeless. I think you're unhoused. I feel like that's a very strong, like, strange man drinking a gallon of milk. You know, definitely unhoused.
You know, it's either that or you're probably just like a wealthy man. Like, you know how they say, like, Bill Gates, he's a terrible dresser because it's one decision he doesn't want to have to make. It's just like he puts on the same thing every day. Like, you could be a very wealthy man that's just like, I'm only wearing corduroys and vest. That's it.
No shirt?
I mean, yeah, you got the vest.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you even need a shirt at that point?
The point of a shirt is just to cover your nipples and belly button, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Why even need the shirt? Just have the vest.
How many times in your life have you said, ooh, my arms are chilly?
I agree. Never. No, never. Yeah. Never. It's your core that gets a little chill.
Keep the core warm.
And you can take that plus if you've been working out those arms. You know how often, I mean, arms are let's be honest here. The easiest workout you can do are the arms workout. It's the most enjoyable. And quite frankly, if I've been sculpting my guns or working on my guns, I want to show them off. And a vest is going to allow me to do that.
Procreation rates will go through the roof.
I think that's what Japan needs. I've heard, like, Japan has this issue where no one's having children, and the, like, decline in population is already creating all these issues, like all these huge problems that, you know, how are they going to be able to solve this? I mean, economically, they're going to keep going backwards. They're going to have all these empty homes. Buildings are going to be completely empty. I'm telling you what, if we just incorporate the vest, my friend, we can solve all those problems. People be having 12, 15 kids.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Who is the sexiest Disney character of all time?
Oh, Gaston.
Well, I was going to say Aladdin, because, I mean, he wears a vest, right?
Well, he is a sexy, I would agree. I would say power rankings, easily 1-2. I really strongly do feel like Aladdin and Gaston are that top tier of sexiest Disney character. And I mean, who would even be number 3?
I'm not going to put it past Buzz Lightyear.
He was handsome. What about Scar? Was Scar sexy?
Yeah, it just depends on if you like the bad boys or not. You know what I'm saying?
He was the baddest boy. I mean, he killed his brother, which is really, really dark. You know what? I got another sexy character. Sorry, I got another sexy character.
No. Yeah, bring me the sexy.
Prince Eric. He's got like the white shirt. It's like ripped open, and he's all jacked.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of Scar. He's clean shaven. He's, you know, he's just got a
total babe.
He is the babe. I'm looking at photos of him right now.
If I'm being really honest, like, Disney needed to tone it down. I mean, he was just oozy. That was practically like Magic Mike.
Yeah. It's like Magic Mike if he was about to go swashbuckling.
Exactly. Like,
which is the ultimate kind of sexy. Who doesn't love a swashbuckler?
My God. It just oozes appeal. I mean, that's why everyone loved Jack Sparrow. He was a swashbuckler. But see, that goes with the line of vests that we have. In fact, I feel like the first version of said vest should be piratey themed. Like, I think that's very fair. We could kind of give it a ruffle. Yeah. We can, but yeah, no. I mean, how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend?
Well, first off, before we switch into my weekend, which was just a hoot, I want to circle back to Gaston real quick. May we go down that avenue?
Let's spend some time on Gaston.
So you mentioned Gaston, right? And the one thing that's always confused me that I've never really followed up on or asked about with him, his gun at the end of it was like a trumpet. Did you notice this?
What do you mean?
I don't know how you didn't notice it. He had like a trumpet for a gun. And I always wondered, like, is this real? Like, what's the benefit of this crappy, crappy gun?
It does look like a trumpet. Did guns ever look like that? Was there any point in history where...
That's what I'm wondering.
Because I don't...
What does that gun do? What's its specialty? Does it just go... Instead of going bang, it goes... Toodaloo! Or, you know, and like...
It definitely looks like an instrument. That is a great question. I have a lot of questions about Gaston. Here's a great question. He mentions in the lyrics of the song, he says in the "No one fights like Gaston, no one like Gaston," he says, "And every last inch of me's covered in hair." Yet he did not appear to be that hairy of a man.
He's a bald man.
So was he shaved? But maybe he was just saying, like, I have so much testosterone, I cannot control the amount of hair, but you wouldn't even know it because I shave it or get it waxed. And he's kind of saying, but if I didn't get it waxed on the reg, I'd be a horribly hairy man. So hairy, in fact, the hairiest man you've ever seen.
What was the name of his little minion?
LeFou. LeFou.
Maybe LeFou shaves him.
Gaston, come on. It's time for your daily shave. Come on, Gaston. Let's get that shirt off. Let's shave those pecs.
He eats... Oh, every day, that man ate 4 dozen eggs. Oh, my God.
He did.
Every day. Isn't that what he says? Every day, I have 4 dozen eggs to help me get large.
Something.
I mean...
Is that how it goes?
I think he says he has 4 dozen eggs.
We don't talk about that enough. He has 48 eggs in one day.
I think that is the lyric that he says. I think it's
like... I think we found out why every last inch of him is covered in hair.
My Lord. I mean, the amount of hormones going through that man. I gotta actually see the lyrics to this song here. This song is ridiculous. Like... He's just talking about his bicep. He has biceps to spare. And every last inch of me is covered in hair. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. That, I think, would give you a heart attack. He really needs to consult his physician, because I am telling you right now, I think you would have a problem if you're... You know, if you're eating more than, let's say, six eggs, and he's saying in the morning, that's only his morning regimen, Will.
But that he said as a lad, that means he was a kid.
Well, now, and get this, and now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs. He eats 60 eggs? So I'm roughly the size of a barge.
Gaston is getting bad nutritional advice. His nutritionist is just like, just eat 6 dozen eggs, bro. You're going to be fine.
I would really urge Disney to look at the lyrics and see what they're encouraging. Like, again, this is going to be, and kids are going to go to the hospital eating this many eggs.
The other thing, too, is, you know, if you're at the gym, you know, if you saw a guy with big biceps, would you just say, buddy, could you spare me a bicep? You got plenty to spare. What does that mean?
I mean, evidently, he has just so many. He's going to be giving them out. Here's the other thing he says. I use antlers in all of my decorating. Which, I will say, he would fit in very well at Jackson Hole, if you've ever been to Jackson Hole, because they use antlers. In my opinion, a little bit too many antlers. You know, listen, I like antlers, but it's one of the few times in my life where I'm like, they need to cool it on the antlers. A little too many antlers here.
Do you think Gaston, in his size and his stature and, you know, his hair and biceps to spare, you think he would get made fun of if he brought his trumpet gun? Or do you think people would be too afraid to make fun of him for his trumpet gun?
Listen, if The Rock had a weird trumpet gun, I'm not going to ask any questions to The Rock about his weird trumpet gun.
You're absolutely right.
You're not questioning that man. That man eats 60 eggs a day, just in the morning, Will. How many eggs did Rocky? Remember Rocky was always drinking the raw egg? Like he was encouraging all boxers to get salmonella in the film. It is borderline dangerous to just drink raw eggs, right?
Listen, there's better ways to get your protein. That's unnecessary.
It's also a weird flex, right? Like, I can't put in the time to cook. Like, was he so dumb because he'd been hit in the head so many times?
It's no wearing corduroys and just a vest kind of a flex. Maybe some girls would dig it, but,
By the way, that does seem like a look that Stallone would rock. In, like, some 80s movie. Listen, I only go dry cleaning once a week. He strikes me as the kind of person who actually would potentially be able to, you know, really commercialize what we're trying to do here.
Oh, dude podcast?
No, the look, buddy. The look that we're going for. Vest, no shirt.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying he like dude podcast is right up his alley. No, I get what you're saying now.
Well, of course.
Yes, for sure.
It's up every man's alley. And woman.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody's a dude. It's very much like the Keenan and Kel classic song, I'm a dude, you're a dude, we're all dudes.
We're all dudes.
Yeah, that's sort of the rock that we have built our house on here at Dude Podcast.
You know what? Let me say this to the people listening. If we don't call you dude, you should be concerned.
I agree. It means that we're plotting to murder you. Much like Scar did his brother.
We're going to shoot you in the face with a trumpet gun.
With a trumpet gun.
That goes... Poo-doo-doo!
How long was she living with the Beast? Do we ever have any timeline of Belle's time with the Beast? Like, was she there like years?
I think a couple months, and then they fell in love, and she realized my home is where the Beast is. Which is funny because that's what my wife said when she met me.
Oh, hi-oh! Yeah. Here's the other kind of ridiculous thing about Belle is until like I think she saw some image of like her father like. I think he was, like, starving to death. Like, it was, like, he was, like, in a famine or something, or he got lost. Something weird happened that she had to leave, right? She was way too okay with just leaving everything behind.
If your papa was trapped in a beast lair, what would you do?
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, William, she was all too happy to just, like, leave the, like, she just checked into the Beast's place and she was completely okay until she saw her father, like, starving or wherever the heck he was. Like, she was all too happy to, like, just say, like, see you later.
You're forgetting the story, friendo.
Oh.
The father was initially trapped in the Beast's lair and she said, take me instead. And he said, fine. So he kicked the dad out and took her instead. He was holding her hostage.
Oh, I thought she just stumbled upon the area.
No.
But that's not the case. In fact, it was okay, I got you. The old switcheroo.
But then she sang her songs and she melted that beastly little heart of his. And he said, go save your father. And that's why we love that tale.
You know what? That dad is a moron.
He's a dummy.
He just kept getting in. He ends up in a beast lair and then he he almost gets himself killed again. He's just a bumbling... He really was like Mr. Magoo, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. That's a great... Magoo, you know what?
You did it again! Oh, my God. Did I ever... This is 100% true. You know that Carol Ann was, like, horrified of Mr. Magoo.
The blind guy?
The old man who couldn't see. Yeah, she had some weird fear of Mr. Magoo.
That's a first.
As a child. That adorable, belovable, bumbling, blind old man. Like,
what's the fear there?
I don't know, but she was, like, as a child, like, terrified of Mr. Magoo. And I want to say, babe, your dad's kind of Mr. Magoo. Like, they're kind of the same guy. So maybe that was the fear, is like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's like she, it was all too real at that point. Maybe that was the problem. Like, she was like, there was the reality of, like, Mr. Magoo is my father. No, but seriously, she was, like, horrified of the cartoon Mr. Magoo, which makes no sense.
Maybe because he has so many near-death experiences, it was just too much anxiety for her to deal with.
He's the most adorable little man. He can't even, like, he's just a man who can't see, you know.
You know what would be a great childhood crossover is Mr. Magoo and Amelia Bedelia. Two knuckleheads just having a good time.
She was a maid, correct?
Yeah.
And she was a maid who was just silly as heck.
Oh, she was a goofball.
We have some cleaning people who come, like, once a month here, and,
are they goofy like her?
I wish they had a little more Amelia Bedelia in them. The only thing that aligns between them and Amelia Bedelia is they find interesting ways of breaking things and then trying to hide, trying to hide them in ways that I can't find it till, like, weeks later. So those are the hilarious hijinks they pull. Remind me again. So Amelia Bedelia is the maid, and she just can... Is she a nanny or a maid?
No, she was the maid, and she just was just a ding-dong of a maid. She just couldn't get anything right.
She would also... She had, like, way too much authority as a maid. Like, wouldn't she, like, take the kids on these strange adventures?
No, I think you're thinking of Magic School Bus. I think you're thinking of Miss Frizzle.
I'm definitely thinking of Miss Frizzle, but... So the maid was just doing nonsense the entire time, and that was the plot? I just feel like the kids ended up in zany situations, but was she bringing these situations into the house on a regular basis?
I don't think there are any children involved in Amelia Bedelia. I think she just helped clean houses.
But she must have been terrible at it.
She was horrible at it, but that's why we loved her.
She would, like, come over to your house, and she would, like, put your dog in, like, the toaster oven. Right?
Exactly. They'd be like,
oh, she's cooking the dog again. Oh, no.
But all that's to say is Mr. Magoo and Amelia Bedelia, what a duo that would be.
Oh, my God.
And maybe add Miss Frizzle in there?
I mean, Miss Frizzle was a daring woman because she risked her children's life every class.
Putting a bunch of children in a bus down an esophagus. Did the parents sign off on this?
No.
Would you sign off on that?
No! I believe at one point they were getting attacked by white blood cells. Not good.
They were, and they had to go out the intestines.
Not good, Miss Frizz. Not safe at all. I feel like they were... by the way, the only two places I remember them going were, like, they were either always in outer space or they were back in the human body. There was no, like, they couldn't go anywhere, like, you know, semi... Regular. Only those two split those places.
The writers had no. They were just like, now what do we do? Let's go in through the ear cavity.
Yeah, she was out of control.
Do you think that was a public school system or a private school situation?
I mean, I would think it was a public school system. I get those vibes. I also get worried in like 2024 the political consequences that woman would also get into. Let's visit January 6th and like. There's the guy with the horns or whatever he was when he was raiding the Capitol. And they're like, they're seeing people defecate on Nancy Pelosi's desk.
Did that happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People were pooping.
Oh, I didn't know there was poop involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot. I think there was a lot of pooping.
Do you think that was their number one objective? Do you think they thought about this? Or do you think when they got in, then they were like...
It was a premeditated poop.
PPFN. Premeditated poop for Nancy.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Poor guy who had to clean that up.
I mean, yeah. Listen, not only did you have, like, you know, again, like, it was a mess. It was scary. There was, like, doors getting knocked down. Can you imagine, like, you've had, like, the weirdest day ever, and then you're just like, oh, man. I mean, seriously, you're probably having to replace certain floors. And, I mean, it's a huge job. And then just the cherry on top, the poop.
If someone pooped on your desk... What do you do? Do you get a new desk or do you just buy some like real intense cleaners? Do you keep your, do you keep that desk?
What's the analogy? They say it, you know, I like to do sports analogies. They say the problem with a young quarterback, they call it seeing ghosts. And they say basically you're always imagining getting sacked all the time. Even if you're not going to get sacked, like you're afraid that there's people there trying to get you. So like if you're trying to do your job and someone is pooped on your desk, you're going to keep seeing it even though it's not there. You know, your brain's going to be playing tricks on you. So I do think I would need a new desk or like,
yeah,
I would definitely need something very unique to go where that PP, what was it? PP?
PP for N.
PP for N. I would need, you know, maybe a nice little statuette or something to go there to take my mind off that dirty, dirty business.
Do you think if you were pranking someone with poop, would you be insecure afterwards? Like people seeing your poop and going like, that's not normal. Would you be happy or would you be insecure about it? Because if you're pooping somewhere in public, you already kind of have no shame.
I mean, listen, I don't need that kind of heat. You know what I mean? That's a lot. There's a lot to take in there.
But what if everyone saw it and were just like, nobody was talking about it because your poop looked weird?
It's like bright blue. Everyone's just concerned for your well-being afterwards. Like everyone forgets the prank that just happened. And they're just like, man, like what? Is this person okay? I would be very concerned. Yeah. So I would say, you gotta be careful.
JC, do you remember freshman year of college? I'm getting ready to go to bed. And the smell was awful. I could not handle the smell. But it was like, it was subtle, but it was awful. And I just thought, we're in a house full of guys. Somebody like took their shoes off. It smells terrible. I wake up, the smell's even worse. I'm just like, what is this smell? It smells like, it's awful. Like the plumbing backed up or something. And I go to a couple classes. I come back. It's like late morning, almost lunch. And the smell is palpable. Like we're all in our quad like, what is that damn? It smells like a dead rodent in here. We're all searching around and finding like, Will, this is near your bed, dude. Like something's going on here. And I'm like, I know I'm showering. Like I know I'm not forgetting. And we're looking around. Is it closer to my bed? And I'm taking the sheets off. I can't figure it out. And I look under the bed and I see a to-go box.
Oh no.
And I'm like, somebody left some food here. And I open it up, and it was a massive poop. I was like, it's poop! Somebody put poop in here! There's a poop in this to-go box! And everyone came into the room. Who pooped in this to-go box and put it out on my bed? I demand to know! Man, I can't believe you don't remember that.
I think I blocked that from my memory. I mean, and it just was getting worse throughout the day, too. You're just like, am I losing my mind? Like,
I told my mom that story. I think I came home and I told her that story. And as I was telling it, she was like, like, Will, you can't live in that house anymore. They're putting poop in to-go boxes.
Case Skaggs is the ultimate person to tell that story to because, like, there's no one who...
She was so concerned for my safety.
To give context to your mother, one of my favorite stories about your mother, who I love to death, Kay, the best. You, maybe it was coming back from college or maybe it was summer and you had grown some facial hair.
Oh, and, yes.
And she looked at you... And started bawling. She started crying.
No. You're close. As a joke, I told my mom. I said, "Mom, I'm going to grow a yeard." And she said, "What's a yeard?" And I said, "It's a beard that I don't shave for a year." And then she started weeping.
Yeah, she literally cried. And then she goes, "Why would you want to hide your beautiful face?"
Yes, that's exactly what she said. You know what? As a dad, if my kid told me that when he was in college, I'd be like, good. that means you're not going to have any sex. You're not going to get anyone pregnant.
Yeah. No one's going to want to talk to you with a disgusting... He basically has Gaston's body on his face. Right. No one wants anything exactly. to do with him. So for the betterment of society, at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but absolutely. I just thought that was the funniest, one of the funniest stories.
So this weekend, I was at the grocery store. And, you know, those people who, like, in between the aisles, they'll have someone with a little stand and they're trying to...
Yeah, like Costco, Sam's, yeah. whatever. Yeah, the samples, yep.
Right. So I'm going through an aisle and I hear this lady say something to me. I couldn't quite make out what she said because she was very soft, very, very soft spoken. She's, you know, do you want... And for those of you who don't know, I'm very, 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 very clinically deaf. Been that way for, 20-some years. And as a kid, I was very insecure about if I couldn't hear someone and saying what. Like, if I had to say what 3 or 4 times, I got really insecure and, like, anxious about it. Now as an adult, when you get older, you just kind of don't care anymore about things, right?
Yeah.
So now that I'm 37 and someone says something to me and they don't have, you know, the forethought to speak clearer, I'm writing you off. I'm just going to pretend like I heard you and just walk off.
Sure.
That's my mechanism now.
I can understand how that would work 99.9% of the time.
She could have said anything. I think she was trying to make banter because she didn't have a product in her hand or anything. She just said, N-n-n-n-n-n. And I said, excuse me? And she goes, and I just was like, I can't deal with this. I'm in a hurry. And I just go, no, thank you. And I just walked away. She could have said, like, you know, I'm being held hostage.
Held against my will, please. Please save
me. And I just giggled and said, no, thank you.
They're locking me here at night. And this is, you're my only chance to potentially escape Costco.
I think I might be having a stroke. Could you help me, young sir?
No, thank you. Nothing out of the ordinary came out of that?
No, but I walked away from that realizing, like, I no longer feel bad about this.
Good. Well, I'm proud of you.
Another thing happened to me this weekend that had to do with my deafness. So this weekend, I'm playing a baseball game, and I see an old friend in the stand. So I went to go talk to my friend, and my friend was there with another one of her friends, who I don't know. And they were with their kid. And we're all kind of talking, and the kid says something to me, and I didn't hear it. So my friend says to the kid, you're going to have to speak up. He can't hear you. He, I have a lot of friends that do that on my behalf.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
And I'm going to give her a pass because she was just a kid. And I don't know if she thought my friend was joking, but she looked at me and goes, have you ever, like, very obnoxiously, what do you think about this? And the mom goes, you need to cut that. The mom was like scolding the kid.
That's awesome.
I cannot tell you how many times this has happened to me. One time in college, my roommate's mom came to visit.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened. She said something and he said, mom, you're going to have to speak up. He's deaf. He can't hear you. And she started mimicking sign language to me. Oh. She goes, hey, what do you think about this? And my roommate goes, mom, what are you doing? And she was giggling. I think she thought it was a joke. And I sat there like, what is happening?
What in the world?
And she doubled down. She doubled down.
No.
Yeah. The friend's like, mom, he's really is deaf. And she goes, oh, yeah. So blah, 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 blah. She's doing the sign language. And I was like, I don't know what to do here.
And at that point, you realize that your friend's mom is a horrible human being. Like, oh my God. I'm just trying to understand, like, in what world would that have been a positive, like, oh, this is, we're having fun, making fun of people with hearing, like.
I think she thought her son was joking at first.
Yeah.
And then, so she doubled down, and then when she saw the hearing aid, I think she was too embarrassed to apologize at that point, and just kind of, I don't know. It was really bizarre.
I mean, it's terrible for that woman. But awesome, too. Like, that is such a bizarre, like, curb your enthusiasm sort of, like, is this actually happening to me right now? That's amazing.
You know, I don't get easily offended by stuff like that, but there are moments where people say things that I feel embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I gotcha.
All right, well,
I think we solved.
I think that wraps us up.
I think we solved all the world's problems today.
I mean, look, if you're looking to up your sex appeal, go to your nearest five and dime, get some corduroys and a vest.
And get a vest.
And
keep working on those biceps. And again, maybe you're eating 48 to 60 eggs a day, like Gaston taught you.
Do we advise it?
No, we don't advise it.
But if you're like, look, I got a couple inches that have no hair.
Let's eat more eggs. You know, a couple more dozen. Like, subscribe. Yeah, we got, you know, a lot of, I know we were a little off as it relates to timing, but we're going to get back on a schedule. So thank you, Duties. We really appreciate it. You listening on a regular basis. And yeah, more content's going to be coming your way here shortly. You guys rock, and have a great week, Duties.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week.
Bye, Duties.
Bye, Duties.